Since this is the second time this week we have the remains of one of our loved ones here in the chapel, before we turn to the readings, I'd like to just recall how it normally works and why we have to make adjustments in these times. And normally, we pass through the dying death process. After death, the family and loved ones mourn. There's a wake. There's an opportunity to gather and console one another and to pray for the person who died, and also to respect the body of the person who died, because the body is a sacred temple. Then there's the funeral mass. It's an entrusting of the person to God, to the mercy of God. And then there's the burial. We entrust the soul to God, we entrust the body to the earth, where it awaits the resurrection. It doesn't mean that's the end of the mourning, but that's the usual pattern. Now, as we know, that pattern has been pretty severely disrupted. And in some ways unfortunate, in some ways there's a hidden blessings involved. In the case of Linda, the beautiful thing was she was able to die at peace, at great peace, with her loved ones in the house of her sister, together with her daughter. I don't know if any other relatives were there. And she was able to receive the sacraments. I myself was one of the priests who was privileged to visit her in her last days. She received sacraments. And so, unlike so many who have died alone or who have been in isolation, Linda was cared for both her physical needs and her spiritual needs. And that was a blessing. I think we have to give thanks to God that he allowed her to have a beautiful death. The wake was a little more difficult because with all the safety protocols, as we know, you can't just gather people. But there, at least the family was able to have a wake in some form. And I was able to offer a mass there one afternoon. So I was also privileged to honor Linda's body. The tragedy or the contradiction was her son wasn't able to get out of the quarantine. My condolences to you. I haven't seen you yet. You're the youngest son. I've heard the story of what happened. He came in from abroad to come to the funeral of his mother, locked in quarantine, even though he had a negative result, couldn't get out. You know how things are. And so he missed the funeral. I couldn't be there in person. I came all the way home, but not able to attend. So this is the abnormal normal that we're going through still. So Linda had her funeral. She was cremated. Maybe that was a week ago or so. And then, but she has not yet been brought to her a final resting place, which gives us this opportunity. So I'm saying, yeah, we're in an abnormal time, but let's also give thanks to God that we can, again, gather, we can pray, we can bless the remains of our sister, we can entrust her to God, we can, in a sense, do a normal thing. We're grieving together, but we're also praying together, we're giving thanks together, and that's beautiful. So that's what we're doing in this mass. Now, even though this is a funeral mass of sorts, where the readings that we are pondering today are the regular readings taken from Saturday of the third week. So let's take a moment to reflect on what God is saying to us in his word. The first reading is a reflection on faith, almost a definition of faith from the letter to the Hebrews. And the gospel is the story of the storm that the disciples suffered on the Sea of Galilee. Let's reflect a little bit on this storm. I think everyone knows that this is a real storm, but we can take it as a symbol of all the upheavals that we pass through in life. Now, it was a real storm, and these are real fishermen on the sea, and they're used to storms. Fishermen know very well when they're in danger and when they're not in danger. We who are not used to being on the water, or maybe some of you are, but some of us might be afraid when we're not really in danger. But when a fisherman's afraid, then you know you're really in danger. So this was a real dangerous storm. the boat was filling up with water. The one person who you would think would be afraid is the carpenter. That's Jesus, who was not used to being on the water. He's in the boat, sound asleep. It's on a cushion. He's not just asleep, he's comfortably asleep. So the contrast between the terrified disciples and the comfortable Jesus is very great. He's taking his siesta and nothing is disturbing him at all. Now, we take this as a sign of our experience of storms in life. There's lots of storms, including typhoons and natural disasters, but the pandemic is a storm. Dying and death is a storm. Loss of loved ones is a storm. Being locked in quarantine is a storm. Financial problems are storms. Family problems are storms. Marriage problems are storms. Community life is a storm. You know, this is a big part of human experience, is passing through difficult times. We reflect on the reaction of the disciples. Not only are they terrified, but they're angry at Jesus. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They don't say, Jesus, save us. They say, Jesus, you don't even care about us. And that's a pretty common reaction that people have when things go wrong. God doesn't even care what's happening to me. I'd like to put this story together with some of the other accounts of storms on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee. The more famous one is when the apostles are out in the boat in the storm and Jesus is not with them, remember? And he comes walking along on the water. That's the one that people usually think of when they think of the apostles suffering a storm on the boat. In that case, Jesus was not with them. They were afraid. But then when Jesus came, they got even more afraid. In this case, Jesus is with them, and they're still afraid, and they're angry. So I like to put these together because it shows us the extremes that we reject or that we experience and find terrifying. When God is doing something great, is causing a great upheaval, we're terrified. When he's walking on the water, when he sends a pandemic, when he throws things into chaos, that we're terrified. When God is not doing anything at all, when he seems to be asleep, then we're terrified. You see, either he's doing too much and we don't like it, or he's not doing enough and we don't like it. You see how narrow our category is, or how narrow our expectations are. We only want God to do what he's supposed to do the way we expect him to do it right now. If it's too much or too little, then we're unhappy, angry, afraid, upset. Our faith crumbles. These stories don't say that God is not with us. They don't say that God doesn't care about us. They say something about our weak faith. And all of us have more or less weak faith. Just think of experiences that you've had of storms and reflect on your own experience. We're afraid, we're angry, we're upset, we're confused. That's our natural reaction. Our natural reaction is part of life, but that's not the only level. So the issue here, or the reason for pondering these storms, is so that we can identify that there's something higher than the natural reaction, and that is the life of faith. Jesus brings this out explicitly. After he calms the storm and the sea and the wind, he asks the disciples, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? Why are you terrified? And they would say, we're terrified because the boat is sinking and we're going to die. But he says, there's more to what you see and experience, what your natural reaction. Do you not yet have faith? Faith allows us to see more than we can see with our eyes, or what we naturally experience. Sometimes people misunderstand this. They think that faith is a kind of escape from reality, or faith is somehow avoiding, a way to avoid the pain of life. No. Faith is not an escape. Faith is a way to transcend and see more. It's like, if you've ever been in a plane, when you take off, it might be cloudy, it might even be rainy, it might even be stormy. And then when the plane takes off, it goes higher and higher, it goes above the clouds, and it's a calm, sunny day up there. That's something like faith. Faith, we don't see that when we're on the ground. But when we have faith, we know that there's some higher perspective. We know that the sun is shining somewhere up there, even if we can't see it. Do you not yet have faith? When we're in the middle of a storm, of course we're going to have fears. That's just normal. God doesn't expect us to be abnormal. But he does expect us to open the eyes of our hearts with faith to see more than the storm, to see beyond the storm, to see above the storm. That's what he asks. Do you not yet have faith? Faith is described in today's first reading as the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Well, if it's evidence, that means we have it. If we can't see it, then we don't have evidence. That's what we find contradictory. No, faith is what gives us the ability to see beyond the storm. It's essential for us to strengthen our faith, to be open to our strength, our faith being strengthened. Because we are all going to suffer storms. If we're not suffering one right now, we will, what we all are in the middle of the pandemic, but if we're not experiencing too much turmoil now, we will. Everyone will. If nothing else, our own death, we're going to pass through, or the death of our loved ones. We're all going to pass through storms, and we need faith to be able to see God is with us. God is not asleep. God is not absent. He hasn't abandoned us. He's not out to frighten us. He is with us. He's with us. He has power and he has love. He has mercy. He's present. This is faith. And when the more we reflect on the truth of faith, the more we can see through the stormy, the darkness and the stormy experiences of life. We are the disciples. We're in a boat. Jesus is with us, and he is not worried. If he can sleep comfortably on a cushion, so can we. So don't let anxiety deprive you of a good night's rest. Remember the gospel that we had yesterday? Those of you who were here yesterday, it was a parable of the farmer who planted the seeds in the ground. He didn't know how they would grow. What did he do? He went to bed. He got up in the morning, did his work. At the end of the day, he went to bed. Every day, that's how it is. And that's part of the life of faith. Faith makes it possible for us to be at peace, knowing that we're not in control. Storms remind us that we are not in control. Faith reminds us that God is in control, so we don't have to worry. This pandemic is reminding everybody, we are not in charge here. We can't solve problems as fast as we would like to or in the way we would like to. We can't. Does that cause us to panic? Certainly causing the world to panic. Even some people in the church are still panicking. The response of faith is not to panic. Why are you terrified of COVID-19? Do you not yet have faith? The question of Jesus is always relevant to us. Now we'll have natural fears and reactions, of course. We have to take prudent steps to protect ourselves, yes. But we still sleep peacefully at night because we put our trust in God. faith is like a cushion. Lay your head on it so you can sleep in peace. And we give thanks to God for this gift in relation to the passing of our sister Linda. Of course, this is a time of sorrow, and we offer our condolences to the loved ones. But we also encourage everyone who's grieving to turn to God in faith and find consolation in the gift of faith.